Randall, I really don't know what I'm doing. And I don't. I really don't know what I'm doing. All I know is I'm just trying to serve the Lord. I felt this a long time ago when I first received the Holy Ghost. I felt that the Lord had called me to preach. And many times I have sat over there in that corner, and I've heard Brother Gerald, I don't know if I've ever told this, but Brother Gerald gets up here a lot of times and he says, "The Lord never called me to preach." He said, "Sister Brenda called me to preach, but the Lord never called me to preach." And I sat there and I said, "Well, Gerald, I wish I could say that, but I can't." And this has really bothered me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just seeking out, searching for the will of the Lord. I want to do what he would have me to do. I told Brother Jackson tonight, I told him, I said, expect little and you'll not be disappointed. But you know, the Lord spoke through a mule one time and
that's right.
And warned me. It was a prophet. Well, I guess he might be able to do something with me if he can do something with a mule. Praise God. You didn't leave me much time. You know, I like to get out of church about 8:45, something like that. No, needless to say, I certainly feel inadequate. But I hope the Lord blesses you in this. This is a thought. Last night, well, I've had this thought on my mind for some time. But last night I got to seeking for the Lord, and I wanted to give you something that may bless you. So last night I started praying and seeking God, and Carla likes to walk. And Carla, you can ask her to do anything, and boy, she broke her leg and she broke an arm, and she's been detained for a long period of time before she's ever started walking. And I guess that really means something to her, so she can walk. But anyway, I got to seeking the Lord, and I got to searching for what I could give you tonight. And I really didn't know what to speak to you about or anything of this nature, and I started seeking the Lord, and I just started marching around this desk of Brenda's. And I said, "Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I need help. Because I can't bless you in my own self, but it'll take God to do it." And I marched around and I marched around and I marched around. A little bit, I turned around and there was Carla. And she's marching right with me. And we weren't going anywhere. I was just marching around. I was just saying, "Lord, give me something for this people." And here's Carla marching along behind me.
Right.
Praise God. That kind of inspired me. But I've had this thought on my mind for some time, and I hope I can convey it to you. I pray the Lord will bless you in it. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Right.
You know, at birth, birth is a hard thing for the woman, and it's a very laborious thing for the man too, sitting in the hospital. But the first thing you notice about your child at birth, the first thing that touched me when I went to the window to see my child, was I started looking for deformities in that child. And I checked it over of what I could see. And I remember that, I remember the time I went to see Carol Ann and her ear was folded, just folded flat. And I thought, "My Lord, I hope she don't have a deformity of the ear." But this is the first thing you look at in a child. Your child is a deformity for that child.
Right.
You want the child to be perfect.
Right.
You want the child to grow up in the way it should go. This is yourself. I mean, part of yourself. I've said at times, and I say this, I keep referring to my children, but I have sat with my kids in a midst of trouble with them. And I wished I could place myself in their spot. I've looked at them, I've watched them on an operating table, or one of them. And I wished I could just lay down on the table and just take the child's place. I wish I could just, I could be in that child's place for that moment. But I couldn't. You know. But I want the best for my children. I want my children to be perfect. To be perfect, we've got to start at an early age with a child to bring them up in the way that they should go. But this child, you are this child's teacher.
Right.
What qualities you have, you're going to transmit to those children.
That's it.
Those children are going to pick up every little thing you say. Brother Howard Wayne's about to have a baby. That child will pick up everything you say. Not too long ago, I got to saying something like, I say this quite frequently, and I've tried to get out of the habit, but I said, goodness, you know, along that line. And a little bit, I started hearing my children going around, goodness, goodness.
Right, right.
But they'll pick up anything you say.
That's the truth. Right.
But if you want that child to grow up and be perfect when it's of age and adulthood, you're going to have to transmit your qualities.
That's right.
You're going to have to transmit the right qualities. A man that I know that I work with, and I hope this don't get on the radio.
Yeah.
But I just heard recently that he intends to take his daughter, who's 18 years old, and he intends to take his daughter to the races. Take her to the races, the first time at the races. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to do something of that nature. I want my child to be, I want him to be raised up in the way it should go. I want him to be placed in a position. I want him to have the qualities that you can use, that you can make something of. Praise God. Praise God. But most parents, they fail to realize this.
That's right.
They fail to realize that the child in the early ages, you've got to mold that child as a piece of pottery, you know, into what you would have it to be.
Right.
And they fail. They fail.
That's right.
Now, there's more to it than just not understanding that you've got to mold them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you've got to mold them, what you've got to mold them into.
Hallelujah.
How are you living, parents?
Uh-huh.
How are you molding, parents?
That's right.
And that's the thing in a lot of instances. Most people today, they're molding their children, but they're molding them in the wrong way.
That's the truth.
We're seeing a generation, and I can say the generation that followed me, I can see a direct difference in that generation. And you can trace it back to their parents. You can lay hold on their family, their household when they were young, and you can find the fault. You can find where it was that the parents fouled up. And you can see our generation today. They don't even think right. They don't have the right thinking. They don't consider the right things. They don't even think normal, you know. They're really odd. And you can tell by all the little speeches, you know, or not the speeches, but the little sayings they have. They're altogether different from anything you've ever heard.
Right.
Praise God. But let me get on with this. This is the first part of it. I hope I'm getting over to you. I want to go to Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. Now, you're in the early stages, and all through the child's life, you're molding that child. You're bringing it up in the way that it should go.
Right.
But at a certain age, the children suddenly reach an age of accountability with the parents. And the parents trust them. The parents will give them, they'll loan out their family car to them. They'll say, well, go down to the store and get some bread.
Yeah.
And they can take care of themselves physically. They can handle most of their affairs. They can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And the parents say they just really they don't cast them off to the side, but they're really just oversee the child's welfare. They just overlook the child, you know, not overlook in a sense of just forgetting, but they just oversee the child. And they just try to keep the child in line because the child has, the main period of the life has passed. And the child is at an age now where they realize things, where their teaching, a good part of their teaching has come to pass. And now they can only ask for guidance. They can only reach out and they have to ask for wisdom, you know. They have to ask for advice.
Right.
You don't always have to tell them to, well, look out, you'll be out in the street in a minute. Don't get out in the street. Don't do this or these little things, a cautioning. But the child gets to a point to where he's able to take care of himself. He suddenly got to a point where he can think for himself. And this is the point that the child is in.
Oh God.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You're at this point. Your thinking is right. The father and the mother have raised you to a point. And they want you, now you're on your own, and so to speak, in your own thinking. But you've got to obey your parents.
Right.
That's to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise right. God. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. But the children reach this age. Now, I want to talk to you a moment. I'll probably carry this home with me tonight. I know it's rare I ever get up here and say anything that I don't carry it home with me and just regret I ever said it. But I thought I'd just give you a scattershot load tonight. But now we're children of God. We received the Holy Ghost. We've been baptized in the name of Jesus.
Thank God. That's right.
We're children of God.
Uh-huh.
We have a mind. We've grown up in the church, and we've suddenly learned how to keep from error.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you first receive the Holy Ghost, it's a hard thing to go back out into the world, you know, and you've just received the Holy Ghost, and you got the Holy Ghost on your mind, and you go into the world, and someone says something harsh to you, you know, and it says, whoa, and then all of a sudden you just almost jump back.
Uh-huh.
And then over a period of time in the Holy Ghost,
praise God.
It takes a period of time for you to sort of grow into an adult in the Spirit.
That's right.
And you have your own thinking. There's a purpose for church. There's a purpose for church.
Right.
But you get to a point, a lot of times we come to church and we just sit around, we don't really worship, and you know God is really not transmitting any qualities to us.
Oh,
you know that?
That's all right. That's
we
all
come
right.
to church, and He's our parent.
Uh-huh.
He's our parent.
Right.
Children, when you come of age in your own thinking, you've got to look to your parents for advice.
Right.
You reach an age to where your parents quit taking care of you, and so to speak, in all your physical activities.
Uh-huh.
And you start asking for advice.
Oh.
I went to my father when I didn't go to my father, but I wanted to. But when I graduated from school, I wanted to ask him from high school.
Uh-huh.
It took me a long time to grow up. But I wanted to go to my father and say, tell me how it is out there, Father. I'm scared. I really don't know what it is out there. Give me some advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Transmit some of your qualities to me. Give me some of your qualities that I might face life.
That's good.
And this is what the situation is. When you reach a certain age, you have to get into a point to where you can ask for advice and ask your father or your mother to transmit their qualities to you. Give me something. Tell me how to do this. I want to know more about this. I want to know how to do this. And we reach this adult, seemingly an adult in the Spirit. And we come to church and there are many like us, adults in the Spirit. You've reached the age to where you err off to the side. You've reached the age to where you've quit erring off to the side. You've become aware of Satan and his tricks. You become aware of how he can deceive you. You become aware of his ways, and you know what to do to avoid them. You know the little alluring things that Satan can lead you off in, and you want to avoid them, and you stay away from them. You've reached an adult in the Spirit. So now what do you do? You're an adult in the Spirit. You're like a child that's almost about to step out into the world on its own. You're an adult in the Spirit.
God forever.
You've reached that point to where you're failing. I mean, you've got past the point of failing, the little errors that you make on your way to heaven.
Right.
And now you reach the point to where you've got to ask God for advice.
Hallelujah.
You've got to ask God for help.
Right.
Lord, transmit those qualities to me. Hallelujah.
Right.
Give me something that I can go day by day. Give me help, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we get into a rut. We get into a rut sometimes.
Right.
And I've been in this rut. And I might be in it right now. I don't know. But give me love, Lord. Give me long suffering and patience. Transmit those qualities to me, God. I need them. Hallelujah. Give me goodness and faith.
Yeah.
Meekness and temperance.
Right.
Patience and long suffering and joy and peace. Hallelujah. 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 You know, God, all of this, the whole works, church, everything, the spiritual life.
Right.
You know, God has no, he doesn't work in a spiritual manner. I mean, just have an angel. Everybody meet at a certain place on a certain time. There will be an angel there to greet you.
Oh, no.
And a certain message will come from heaven. And we'll hear the angel tell of prophetic events that are going to happen in the future.
Oh, God.
Or he doesn't come. God doesn't work in that manner.
No.
He doesn't have a man that everyone looks upon as a direct, what I mean to say, other than a pastor, but someone that is a special messenger from God, a man that is a special messenger from God,
right,
who speaks only the words of God in so many words, and people run to him and seek advice. Excuse me, I do not want to get away from the pastor, but what I'm trying to say is he does not lift a man up above the pastorate or the ministry as a special interpreter between him and mankind.
That's right.
There's no one up above the ministry. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right.
But God doesn't work in this way.
Hallelujah.
He works through you.
That's right.
We're the arms, the hands, the feet.
Glory.
We're the eyes.
Hallelujah.
We're the ears.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
We're the speech of God. Hallelujah.
Right.
The
right.
mouth of God. And if God is to reach out and touch the world, he's going to touch it through you.
That's right. That's the truth.
And for you to be a burning light in the world, for you to be what you should be in the Spirit, for you to be adequate in the Spirit, an adult in the Spirit, always on hand and ready, you've got to be where God would have you to be. You've got to be there asking for those qualities from God. Give me love, Lord. I can't hold all the love. Give me love, Lord. You can give me more than I can hold. You can give me more than I can hold.
Right, right.
Praise God. Praise God. You can't get enough love from God. You can't get enough love. You can't get enough long-suffering and gentleness. You can't get enough goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Praise God. But for you to be where you should be, you've got to be in your place in church with God transmitting his qualities to you. Praise God. I want to close on this. or no, wait a minute, I don't want to close yet. But I want to tell you, Brother Jody, there's a purpose for your testimony.
That's good.
About your wife's healing.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Mary's not here, but there's a purpose.
That's right.
For her testimony in her healing. Brother Freeman's not here, but there's a purpose in his testimony on healing from tuberculosis.
That's right.
And it's to give you faith. Brother Charles is not here, but there's a purpose in his healing from diabetes and his testimony. All of these things, they go together to give us all power.
Right.
Praise God. Praise God. I want to close on this, and I hope I blessed you. But a number of years ago, I just received the Holy Ghost. And I had a good friend in high school, and he wasn't a real close friend, but I always liked him. And I really felt something for him. I really liked him. And he was, you know, you see these people in the world. There are a lot of people in the world that without God, I mean, I'm just talking to mankind in general. And the people, you can look at that person and you can say, he knows where he's going. He knows where he's headed. I've seen a lot of them. That guy knows where he's headed. He's going to be a doctor or a lawyer or something of that nature.
Right.
He's going to make it.
Right.
You can put your point on him. He's going to make it.
Right.
But this friend I had, I don't know what it was about him, but he never was that way. He was always, you always looked at him and you say, well, I don't know if Johnny really knows where he's going. And I always felt kind of sorry for him. And he was adopted. He was adopted, but his aunt and his uncle, they took him in and they raised him. And I never knew this until later on, about the period of time I received the Holy Ghost, I guess. But he was the type of person you look at and you say, man, Johnny really don't know where he's headed. He just seemed lost all the time, just didn't know where in the world to go. So I grew up and I went to school, and the next thing I heard that Johnny and another guy had ran off and joined the Marines. And this is when the Vietnam conflict was on, and it was hard. And I was just sitting on the side. I wasn't trying to evade the draft or anything of that nature, but I was just waiting until they called me. And I wasn't trying to avoid it. I just said, if it's got to be, it's got to be. I'm living in a free country, and I want to serve my country, if that's so. But Johnny went off to wherever they trained, and he stayed six months or 6 weeks or something of that nature. And then he came back, and I'd received the Holy Ghost somewhere in this town. And I thought about him. And even while he's away, I thought about him a lot, and I said, I've got to talk to that guy. Because he may be gone before I get the chance to talk to him.
That's right.
So 6 months he came back, and he got his orders, and he's headed to Vietnam. And the friend that he had joined up with was headed to Germany. And I said, I've got to talk to that guy. I've got to get over there and talk to him. And I saw him, and I didn't talk to him. And he went to Vietnam, and he stayed over there for years. Tour of duty was the length of the time. And I think he stayed almost to the time that about maybe his last mission. I don't really know, but it was close. And he got shot in. And I hated that I didn't talk to him. I was sad. I hated it.
Sure.
But you know, I was that guy's contact with God.
Oh, God.
I want to be adequate in God.
Oh, God.
Yes. I want him to transmit all his qualities to me.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
That I may be efficient in his work.
Mm-hmm.
That I may be used of him. Hallelujah. And I close with that. Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Yeah.